Talk Show.
Recorded live.
The views and opinions of this program are not necessarily the views of Talk Show, Jam Radio, and its sponsors.
This is Jam Radio Network. All the fans that never really care about it. Don't worry about people's face. We know the truth. All the fans that never really care about it. Enough is enough in this derby. All the fans that never really care about it.
Then he better be tonight. This is Nation Talk. Jam Radio in Savannah, Georgia. This is Nation Talk. Nation Talk is a public affairs program that deals with issues concerning you. If you'd like to get into the conversation, call us here at 724-444-3444, caller ID number 55519. I'm Mr. Jenkins. Thanks for hanging out with us. We've got a very interesting program. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The United Nations Independent Expert on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples is urging the government of Botswana to adequately and fully address the issues faced by Indigenous communities in the country. Professor James Anaya, who visited Botswana last March, says the current problems faced by Indigenous peoples in Botswana have to do with respect for cultural diversity, political participation, and redress of historical wrongs. Professor Anaya notes that the government has undertaken many initiatives to address the conditions of disadvantaged and marginalized Indigenous peoples and preserve their diverse cultures. But he points out that there are shortcomings in these initiatives. He says the situation of the Indigenous people is a result of colonization and laws passed after independence, which continue to prioritize the interests of the dominant Tswana ethnic groups over others. The expert draws attention to the vulnerable position of the communities which have been removed from and those currently living within the Central Kalahari Game Reserve. Professor Anaya is urging the government of Botswana to address the land loss issue and to secure an adequate supply of water for the reserve residents. He's also calling on the government to pursue direct negotiations with the affected communities by offering technical and financial support to facilitate those negotiations. Diane Bailey, United Nations.
Hi, this is Paul McCartney on behalf of RAD. If you're drinking, you can't drive my car or any car. And remember, don't drink and drive. It's just not worth it.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
This is Jam Radio Network.
This is Minister Jenkins, and you're listening to Nation Talk. The number to call is 724-444-7444. Caller ID number 55519. All right, let's get right to it. I have a guest on the line, and tonight we're going to talk about tonight's topic, by the way, is Race Relations in the 21st Century, Part 2. Now, we've done this earlier in the year. Basically, talk about race relations, how race relations are now versus when it was 40, maybe 50 years ago. And on the phone with me now is Pastor, if I spell it, let me see if I say your name right, Linstead. Is it Linstead or Linstead?
Pastor Martin Luther Drzezinski Linstead.
Linstead, okay. Welcome to the program. There has been a lot of racial tension between the blacks, whites, Hispanics, and Jews. In your estimation, I'm just wondering, what do you personally, as a person, think of race relations, how it is now versus how it was, about 40 years ago?
Okay, well,
estimation.
I'm sort of at a loss as to why you called an Aryan Nations clergyman. I'm one of several factions of Aryan Nations. I'm actually not a litter bug or anything like that, paid for by the Southern Poverty Law Center, or ADL. We go ahead and give these skinhead vermin a little bit of money to litter, you know, go ahead and litter some flyers on the lawns of what I call wiggers. And of some other minorities, go ahead and get it. And then everybody goes ahead and kicks up a flap about, oh, how racist it is. And the Southern Poverty Law Center, or ADL, gets a whole bunch of contributions from Jews, scared that Nazis are going to go ahead and put the Jews and kill off all the Negroes and the rest of them. And so you know, I'm not one of that. I'm an actual dual feed line Christian identity pastor, and dual feed line holds that there's two feed lines. One, an evil seed line composed of the Jews, and a good seed line composed of the Christian Israelites. And that non-whites are just merely the six-day beasts of the fields without any soul. So I'm sort of at a loss as to why you would possibly go ahead and call me up. You know, 40, 50 years ago, what we had was segregation, which was pretty well a known acknowledgement that the whites and the non-whites couldn't live together in peace for very long without a lot of racial friction because of the racial contact. And as a result, pretty well, you had your, and you still do in Mississippi, you still have your black sections of town.
Right.
And you have your white sections of town. But
we have it here in Georgia as well. Well, it's in certain parts of Georgia. We have it here too. As a matter of fact, there's a area up in Forsyth County, which is, well, it's not black, but it has a, I don't know if it's still that way now, but it was very racist, I think it was the most racist place in the state of Georgia, which is Forsyth County, from what I understood, which is just north from where we are here, Savannah, but it's like up near, like up Atlanta, I think it's Stone Mountain, right in that area. But they still have black sections of town. We have it here too in Savannah. We got it here. We got it in other places. But I'm interested in knowing about the nation that you represent. Why are you all against certain races? I'm just wondering. I'm just wondering.
Well, you invited me. I also am wondering why you would invite me. By definition, if you're Christian identity, you're going to be, by definition, a white nationalist. Not really a white supremacist, because we don't wish to go ahead and live with non-whites at all. But I remember I was in the jail at the time on trumped-up charges of child molestation, which they'd want to go ahead and have me railroaded and murdered. But at the time, I remember when Rosa Parks died. This was in 2005.
Right.
And he was somewhat of a Mamzer because he wasn't exactly pure white. Mamzer is a term for a miscegenated bastard. Now, to someone like myself, we believe that even, you know, the non-whites, you know, who aren't Jews, were created on the sixth day, and they're the beasts of the field, and they don't have any souls. And the Bible, from what I gather, doesn't even mention the Orientals, but it mentions the blacks. And I used to go ahead, and it annoys some people, to where I'd go ahead and quote this pastor named Willie Martin's heresy. And Chris, dual seed line holds is that Satan, you know, Eve sin wasn't eating an apple, but having sex with Satan, and she gave birth to the world's first Jew named Cain. And Genesis chapter 6 goes ahead and talks about all these non-whites and demon matings with the Adamites. And dual seed line holds is that it was no worldwide flood, but a local flood, which was only designed to drown out the Adamites. It didn't drown out the obedient Adamites who moved to Europe. It didn't drown the Negroes who lived in Africa. It didn't drown out the Chinese who lived in what would become known as China. But rather, it flooded a local area in Asia, which was east of Eden, which just drowned a few other people. So when I'm going ahead and talk about what happened back then, I believe the segregation did work because it did separate the races, and that the whites were understood to be the ones who got to say what go, you know, who, you know, where, who got what, and who lived where. Now, I was born actually in South Dakota, and I tell people that Mississippians and South Dakotans are very much alike, and that South Dakotans absolutely hate Indians because they have to live next to them, and Mississippians absolutely hate Negroes because they have to live next to them. And there's not too much love, you know, between certain elements of the white community and the blacks. But what happens is that 40 years ago, there was segregation, and there was a means of going ahead and living together on this continent in peace. But as a result of the loss of segregation, and to where whites end up having to live cheek by jowl with Negroes and with more and more Mexicans, and the Mexicans and the Negroes do not like each other. This one guy at the nut house told me, you know, he just said in one sentence, I said, why do you think they don't like each other? And he said, well, they're fighting over the same peanut. And that's essentially what is happening. And what I see, and this past week, the news came, and I don't know if you heard about this, but non-white births outnumber white births in the United States for the first time ever. Well, ever since sometime in the, in the 1700s, of course. But, you know, in the history of this country, non-white births outnumber white births. And there's going to go ahead and be a racial and religious civil war, which, you know, my skinhead associates call racial holy war, but which we call the Great Tribulation. So as a result of going ahead and doing away with segregation, about the only way of whites and blacks and not, you know, and Mexicans or whatever living in peace was pretty well destroyed. And, you know, I don't really regret that because we really actually do look forward to a Great Tribulation. But there's a lot of people who ain't going to like it because they're going to end up dying in this great, you know, in this Great Tribulation. So have I sort of explained this then?
Yeah, I'm just, and because of, I've heard of the Indian Nation. I've heard of them. I'm not quite familiar with them. And I'm not quite familiar with them, but I've heard of them. Okay. I've heard of them.
Well, everyone's heard of them.
Yeah. But
generally, they don't really understand the overall religion which is involved, which is dual seed line Christianity, which pretty well split off from British Israelitism about 60 years ago. And, you know, it's pretty well the white man's racial religion, just like, I guess some people would say black Muslimism is for the, for the American African, and probably for what Islam is for the brown man and the Arab.
Right.
And pretty well, I went ahead and did a paper in that, Christianity, you know, in its Greek Orthodox, it's for the Alpine or Eastern European. The Roman Catholic faith is for the Southern Mediterranean stock, and Protestantism is for the Nordic or Northern European. And when I was locked up, I got illegally doped up. In part, went ahead and claimed a religious exemption, and they would not honor it at all. And there was this Roman Catholic bitch who went ahead and, she'd gone ahead and set up the, you know, so-called ecclesiastical court to go ahead and determine that my religion wouldn't be honored. And it says, what you people need is the same thing that my ancestors, the Lindsteds and Schmitz gave you nearly 400 years ago. You need to be You need to be drowned in the piss of the Swedes. She said, what do you mean by that? I said, well, during the 30 Years' War, these Swedish soldiers who are rampaging through southern Germany, what they do is they take a Roman Catholic priest or farmer or whatever, in addition to raping and killing, what they do is they go all piss into a tin bucket, and then they boil that bucket up, and then they funnel that boiling urine right down their Catholic victim's throat. And what they say is that if you can go ahead and turn blood into wine, you should be able to go ahead and turn blood into piss real easy. And it became such a common occurrence that that the Germans called it Das Swedentrunken, which meant the Swedish drink. And it's just that religious warfare which went ahead and paved the way for religious tolerance. And it wasn't because people loved tolerance that they did that. It was because they were scared as to what happens when there is such a warfare going on, such religious warfare going on. And the 30 Years' War was such a war that the powers actually got together and decided, well, two-thirds of Germany got slaughtered. Let's not have this go on in our country. Hmm. So in many cases, they decided in Germany and a few other places to allow religious tolerance, if for no other reason than to avoid religious warfare such as going on. But now you have the people in power, and they're determined to go ahead and force their notions of integration on upon everybody. And as a result, by going ahead and seeking that power they shouldn't seek, there's going to go ahead and be a racial and religious and civil war, which we call the Great Tribulation.
All right, we're going to take a short break and come back and talk with Pastor Lynn Stewart. This is Nation Talk here on Talk Show.
Jam Radio Network.
The best age for your child to learn to read is during the first 5 years of life. Kathleen discovered this fact firsthand.
A friend of ours recommended the Your Baby Can Read series when we had our first child, Jacob. Never thought anything of it. We plopped him down in front of it.
Your Baby Can Read worked amazingly well.
When Jacob was 3 years old, he was reading at second grade level. He turned 5 in July, went to kindergarten, and in 3 weeks he was moved to first grade.
Kathleen knows it's no coincidence.
Because we have 3 children and all are reading on a high level. School is very easy. Straight A students, maybe 1 or 2 children, but all 3, probably a successful video. So bam, it worked.
Did Kathleen have to work at it?
No, I didn't have to do a thing. Your Baby Can Read definitely gives them a life skill that can never be taken away from them. It's been invaluable.
For a limited time, you can receive a completely risk-free trial of the Your Baby Can Read program. Call now and we'll also include 3 free learning gifts with your risk-free trial. Call 1-800-508-3105, 800-508-3105, 800-508-3105.
This is the Jam Radio Network.
Looking for a lift? Experience a seed from the sower with Michael Guido of Metter, Georgia.
A London church bears this sign. Not everyone who attends this church is converted. Watch your handbags. Some church members profess one thing but practice another. But when one becomes a Christian, he never forgets the reverence due to God, the rights due to man, and the respect due to self. The Christian life is no mere church going, hymn singing, escape from the obligations of life. It's real, and it shows its influence in your life. The Bible, in describing a Christian, says he keeps his promise, even if it ruins him.
For your free copy of Dr. Guido's daily devotional, Seeds from the Sower, write The Sower, Metter, Georgia, 304-39.
Visit us on the web at thesower.com.
The best age for your child to learn to read is during the first 5 years of life. Kathleen discovered this fact firsthand.
A friend of ours recommended the Your Baby Can Read series when we had our first child, Jacob. Never thought anything of it. We plopped him down in front of it.
Your Baby Can Read worked amazingly well.
When Jacob was 3 years old, he was reading at second grade level. He turned 5 in July, went to kindergarten, and in 3 weeks he was moved to first grade.
Kathleen knows it's no coincidence.
Because we have 3 children and all are reading on a high level. School is very easy. Straight A students, maybe 1 or 2 children, but all 3, probably a successful video. So bam, it worked.
Did Kathleen have to work at it?
No, I didn't have to do a thing. Your Baby Can Read definitely gives them a life skill that can never be taken away from them. It's been invaluable.
For a limited time, you can receive a completely risk-free trial of the Your Baby Can Read program. Call now and we'll also include 3 free learning gifts with your risk-free trial. Call 1-800-508-3105, 800-508-3105, 800-508-3105.
This is Jam Radio Network.
Well, we're back. We're around about the bottom of the hour, 26 past the hour. This is Nation Talk. We are talking with Martin Luther D. Listed from the Aryan Nation. He's a pastor of one of the churches. Well, the whole history is very interesting about what we were talking about in the first half here. I don't know if are you familiar with this, and I picked this out from the his name is Dan Sims. He's a racist skinhead Aryan Nation. I don't know if he's, but he has some interesting comments, and I wanted to play it back to and see what you think. Hold on, it's coming up. Part 2 of an interview they did.
Dropped out.
Yeah.
Went to work in a restaurant.
Yeah. But there's another skin word in there. At the time I was in there. Sort of like punk rock and stuff. I had a big green little mop.
Yeah.
I met this one skin that was working there. And I'd always been sort of interested in it, but never really, met anyone that was in the movement. And he started giving me copies like Blood and Honor and stuff like that, different Viking youth publications. It seemed like there was more to it than like the Republican or Democratic parties. Republican Democrat, it just seemed like there was nothing there.
Yeah.
You see one person would be a Republican one day, next he's a Democrat. And so it's like, well, there's no difference between the two. They're both just as corrupt. This must be good. Because everybody's against this one, at least.
How many people do you think you influenced to join Final Solution? Just
one. It was 150 to 200.
He was talking about some political views. What is the Aryan Nation's political views on the country now, as far as, for example, what is the Aryan Nation says about our president, or basically what are some of their views on the president and his policies?
Okay. At the first half, while I was talking about this religious war, these South Germans and these Lutherans, at the time, they were of the same race. They were the same, people, and they tore each other apart. And the thing about it is that if you go ahead and you add a racial component, there's even less things to go ahead and prevent each side from going ahead and trying to kill each other. Now, in the case of Mr. Sims, I don't really know him. You can't really say that there is an official Aryan Nation's view, because what you end up having is, thanks to Pastor Butler, he went ahead and took over Wesley Swift's church, and he turned it from a family-oriented ministry to a political one, and he formed the Aryan Nations to act as the political arm of the Church of Jesus Christ Christian, which is a dual seed line Christian identity church. I'm far more of a pastor But although I'm pretty well the foremost political pastor, but to say if there is a particular Aryan Nation view isn't the correct one because there's so many factions of the Aryan Nations. And like I point out, there's most of them, all they do is they, a lot of them, I think they're controlled by Zog, or as we call Zionist Occupation Government, which is also known as Babylon. And they're given money by the SPLC and the ADL to go ahead and toss out all these flyers and get these people all scared up. Now, myself, I have a lawsuit he might be your president. He's not my president, Obama. And 2 months ago, I had an FBI agent come to my door, and I didn't even get up, bother to talk to him, but talk to him through the window. And he says, well, we're looking to see if you know anything about some bad people who might shoot our president. I says, he might be your Negro president. I didn't use the word Negro, but he's not my Negro president. In fact, I'm suing your Negro president for civil rights and election violation. Here in Missouri, thanks to a particular traitor going ahead and doing something, it's no longer possible for an openly white man like me to go ahead and run as a political candidate on the Democrat, Republican, or Libertarian side. Now, I'm going to go ahead, and one of the reasons I didn't get with you sooner is I had intended to go up to Jefferson City to go ahead and file as a Republican candidate because I have this lawsuit out and ask for a summary judgment to where political parties cannot discriminate on the basis of race, religion, and creed. Because 40 years ago, a number of Negroes wanted to go ahead and run as Democrat candidates for federal office, for United States Senate and elsewhere, as Democrats in the states of Oklahoma and Texas. And the United States Supreme Court went ahead and ruled that, in case of Smith versus Allwright, that the Democrat Party could not discriminate against Negroes on the basis of their race. They had to go ahead and allow them to vote. They had to allow them to run for political office.
So you're saying that you've been discriminated against because of
my particular race and of my particular religious beliefs.
Okay.
And political beliefs. So what happens is that 60 years ago, Negroes were not allowed to run because of their particular race. Now what happens is now the white man is the new Negro, as you will, because I'm determined to be polite to you, Mr. Jenkins. But in any case, the white man is the new Negro, and I'm going to go up there and ask for a summary judgment and say, hey, look, my race is white. My religion is dual seed line Christianity. And my creed is white nationalism. Therefore, you should allow me to go ahead and run as a Republican candidate. Now, by running as a Republican candidate, the Republican Party is the party of concealed racism. But what they want to do is they want to go ahead and pretend that they're not racist or not openly racist. And I intend to go ahead and I've been going after the Republican Party for years. That's part of the reason that those trumped-up charges were raised against me is I ran for United States Senate in 2002, ran for governor in 2004, and I was suing the one-term governor for violating election laws.
There has been, from what I remember, there was like one person from that particular group that ran, but it wasn't successful. I can't think of his name. You probably know who I'm talking about. I think he used to be with the Klan. You probably know who I'm talking about.
David Duke.
David Duke
is a crook. David Duke is a crook. What happens is that I've invented a new term called Zogbot, I don't know if you've, you know, bots, you know, are in, they go ahead and they get in the, they go ahead and they look at your web pages here. You have Yahoo bots and Google bots, and they go ahead and do the search engine.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you looked at Austin Powers. He was going ahead and screwing the Jewish Elizabeth Hurley in the first film, and then here comes a later film, and out comes machine gun barrels out of her bullets, and, you know, oh, my God, she's a fembot. And, he, you know, she goes ahead and tries to kill Austin Powers. Well, David Duke's a Zogbot. And he runs the largest thing on the rest of them, but pretty well. You know, the United Nations and every other place has been thoroughly infiltrated. And David Duke, there's a lot of Klansmen who want to beat his ass because he went ahead and sold their secret membership list as late as 1996. And what he is that he's the, you know, he's the official, you know, big man who's the big racist. And what he is he's just simply a self-serving, thieving traitor is what he is. And no, he's not to be trusted, but... You know, here in Missouri, they've gone ahead and gone to where, you know, the second thing I'm suing for is that by going ahead and trumping up, you know, false, bogus, you know, sodomy charges against me, they said that I kissed my grandson's penis. Well, how are they going to prove that? And the answer of it is they wanted to go ahead and get idiots to go ahead and convict me for 10 years of life and then have me murdered in prison. And that is what things are, going bad. I mean, there is just endemic corruption. And so it's not only going to be a racial war and a civil war, it's going to be a class, you know, class warfare. But race is part of the problem. And by going ahead and creating all these false fronts, all these traitors and the rest of them, I mean, this regime, just like every other regime, thinks that if it goes ahead and jails enough people, it can go ahead and prevent revolution. And civil war, and, you know, the exact opposite of the case, because the more people you go ahead and put into a prison, the more people end up hating the government. It's sort of hard to believe all the stupid crap you heard in your civics class about how you're innocent until proven guilty if you spend some time in jail. Have you ever spent any time in jail?
Oh, I did.
Okay. Well, you know that all this stupid crap about how the public pretender is on your side. It's just that, just so much stupid crap, correct?
Right. Some of it, but not all of it.
Well, I believe that all of it, is lying crap, you know, but if you want to believe some of it is true, then, you know, that's fine. But what I see is just nothing more than an inevitable explosion. I had a friend, you know, this guy, I mean, when 2008 was in there, I only got out of jail 11 days before the election. I went ahead and filed my lawsuit against Obama on election day of 2008. And I mean, I could not stand the thought of John McCain or Hillary ever becoming president. And the thing about it is that the election of, you know, Barack Obama has gone ahead and galvanized the racial right.
Well, they had another candidate for the choice other than those two, than those three. That was Ron Paul. I'm not familiar with his views.
I'm fairly familiar with the views. I started out as a libertarian, and he was the 1988 libertarian, you know, presidential candidate. Ron Paul, though, you end up having all these people. And in White National, you have all these people. They come in, and what they're looking for is a great leader on a white horse that's going to go ahead and save them without them having to go ahead and kill each other, without having to have a civil war. Me, I'm the exact opposite. What I've done is I've worked on decentralizing and keeping underground all these white national, you know, all the Christian identity types. And the past, you know, when you went ahead and called, you know, my show, you know, pretty well I was in the middle of, lambasting, two Zogbots and, you know, some traitors, who had gone ahead and got in.
Yeah, because you was talking about this guy who was a pastor. I think talk about that a little bit. You say it was a guy who was a pastor at one time at the church that you are part of now. But he
Jeremy Visser from Brooks, Georgia.
Okay, it's something that happened between the two of you and
well,
kind of lie or something or something. I forgot how it went, but I kind of got in the middle of it. I heard like in the middle of it, or you sounded a little bit you were upset about it.
Well, I'm not upset about it because essentially Jeremy Visser is a Zogbot. He's been around. He's been acting with this slant-eyed mancer named Brian Wright. And he's been sneaking around for over 5 years, plotting to go ahead and get into this one pastor's named Morris Gillette's Church of the Sons of Yahweh. And a number of years ago, this guy, this old Nazi died and left 40% of his estate worth anywhere from $1 to $4 million to it when it used to be run by Ray Redfern.
Okay.
And what happens is Redfern died in 2003, and then went to Morris Gillette. And Morris Gillette has his own good deal of problems. But once what happens is Butler 40 years ago went ahead and took what me and a number of people thought was the exact wrong turn. He went from Wesley Swift actually running a family-oriented church to one which would go ahead and seize political power from Zog by means of armed skinheads who had nothing else to lose. And as a result, in his later years, he was surrounded by federal informants who'd go ahead and steal his membership lists and sell them to the ADL and FPLC. And his last years, his life was made miserable, and he made a lot of stupid mistakes. And then he dies, and then there's immediately a fight for power. And essentially, I went ahead and went with Gillette because he was the last one standing. At the time, I didn't claim to be a minister, although I was one of the more best-known political dual seed line Christianity. I went ahead and served an apprenticeship of sorts under Lewis Beam and was affiliated with David Lane. These are people that you know. But going on, I went ahead and became a pastor, and then I got kicked out of being a pastor by Gillette because Gillette is all annoyed because I'm actually talking about killing people. But how it's a good thing that this great tribulation comes. And I mean, I get kicked out of a white supremacist church for being an extremist. Well, that's sort of weird, but I couldn't do anything about it at the time. So I went ahead and sent in $25 and chartered my own church. And these idiots are whining about, well, you know, no dean, anybody. And I got to say to this character named Visser, you hang out with this man, you hang out with this man who goes ahead and says Wesley Swift and Richard Butler, essentially the founders of modern Christianity, were nothing more than miscegenated bastards themselves, and that Christianity is a racial fraud, and you're hanging out with this character? So if you're going to, essentially what you're doing is you're sitting out on a branch, and you are sawing that branch right out from under you. There's the trunk, here's the branch, you're sitting on the branch, and you're sawing that branch between you and the trunk. You idiot. And they've been conspiring. Yes, I sort of thought that he was conspiring in August to go ahead and steal Morris Gillette's church while he's in prison. And he didn't need to go to prison. He had a stupid idea, and he got caught for it. And he went ahead and pled guilty and took a plea bargain. And he's going to get out later this year. But I went ahead and found out the church charter was up for renewal. I went ahead and told him to go ahead and renew it, and he didn't renew it. So, Gillette didn't like you. He excommunicated you. Well, yeah, he did. But on the other hand, who's doing Gillette's work? You or me? Because at least I saved Gillette's church for him. You, with this other character, are plotting to steal it from him. So, there's a parable about the son who said he wouldn't do his father's will, and the son who said that he would do his father's will, but didn't. The son who said he wouldn't do his father's will, but didn't change his mind, did it. Which son actually did the father's will? And the answer to that parable was the son who said at first he wouldn't do it, but then went out and did it, correct? Remember that parable?
I think so.
Okay. In any case, you know, same thing with these, you know, these persons. Well, anyway, last September, you know, and then he was plotting with this other idiot from a different Aryan Nation faction to kick me out, and then this idiot got revealed to be Hal Turner's best friend, and then it got revealed that Hal Turner was not only a rat, but he was an Asian provocateur, and Hal Turner had his second federal trial, and it got deadlocked, so he's going to have a third trial for threatening federal judges. And this is a totally screwed up, you know, totally screwed up movement. You know, it's known as the movement, but I usually call it the bowel movement, and that's why, you know, my show was called The Movement Turd. I'm going to go ahead and do one later tonight. But, you know, it's a totally screwed up movement, and it's run, you know, pretty well. The vast majority of these people are just dog bots. They're Asian provocateurs. They're thieves. They're liars. And, yeah, I go ahead and I tell about the latest bit of thievery. And there's always something going on. Always something stupid. Now the thing about it is, well, that's a good thing. I mean, you know, government's doing a good job of, you know, keeping these people in check and infiltrating them and keeping them fighting among each other and killing each other and, you know, backbiting each other. But the thing about it is that just because the government is destroying things doesn't mean that the government is safe, because every evil empire, I mean, there's not a single empire which has arisen which has survived. I mean, do you hear anything much of the Assyrian Empire, or the Persian Empire, or the Greek Empire, or the Roman Empire, or the Spanish Empire, or the Portuguese Empire, or the British Empire doing anything recently?
Not really. There's a lot of, I heard a lot of them in history.
Yeah. Their history now.
I've read a lot about that stuff in history class.
their history. And this empire, this mighty evil empire, is going to be history as well, you know, as well pretty soon, too. It doesn't have to have, it, you know, there's no outside barbarians, but there's plenty of inside barbarians.
See if I can get this. Is the Aryan Nation has anything? Is anything connected with Hitler, Germany, anything like that?
Oh, we use quite a bit of symbols, and most people. I mean, most of the people. I mean, what? What happens is that, yes, they use a great deal of Nazi imagery. I'm thinking of using some Nazi imagery, and the reason of it is to go ahead and shock and scare people as well. But if you've been in jail, I don't care what it is, I don't care where it is. I mean, every jail, every nut house I've seen, you know, even in jail, you'll find scratched in stainless steel pod desk, you'll see a swastika or something scratched into it.
I've seen it in school. I see a little bit in high school.
You see a lot of it. You know, you see a lot of it. Now, the thing about it is, as long as there's, you know, I mean, I've had to deal with a bunch of Negroes when I was in the nut house, and I pretty well openly told them that, yes, I was a Klansman. And, you know, what gets me is that every single Negro I ever seen here seems to think that every single, you know, white man is a possible or potential Klansman, just like every Jew sees every white man as being a Nazi.
What was their reaction when you told them that?
Well, there was this big old guy here. He got into Muslim, you know, Muslimism. He used to be a hustler. He was 6'5". No need to tell him what his name was. He was at the nut house, and he sees this 70-year, you know, this guy who's 56. He looks 70 here. He's messing around. Supposedly he's in for rape, you know. But I don't know. Everybody's saying he's a homo. He's messing around. He says, "Well, there's a Klansman there." I said, "Dennis." he's the last one who, you know, we'd allow in the Klan. So what do you mean? Well, I'm a Klansman. Well, at least you're honest about it. But, you know, he was thinking that this mincing faggot was a Klansman. Mm-hmm. Now, oh, this mincing idiot faggot was not a Klansman. I used to, you know, next door I'd see this here totally deranged, Negro go to head, and he thought he was quite the rapper. He was quite violent. He was quick. He was, you know, he never attacked me because I'm pretty big, but he attacked little small white guys. He really messed them up. But, you know, he'd go talk about how he was, you know, I mean, he'd be rapping about how he'd overcome the Ku Klux Klan here and all this sort of thing. And what happens is that there was this, movie about these debaters, the Great Debaters or something like that here, and he beat this little white guy up with his rings that he was allowed to keep real bad, fractured his head, you know, head in quite a few places in the bathroom, you know, and they're playing a DVD about the Great Debaters, Denzel Washington or something like that.
I heard that movie, yeah.
But, I mean, it's pretty well the same. And I had this one Negro. He was about maybe a 67 IQ, and he was in for robbing a liquor store, and somebody got killed. And the guy was totally deranged, and they try to go ahead and prevent prisoners from making political alliances with each other. Staying up to the nuts, and you're not allowed to go ahead and give somebody else your own food. This guy had come drooling every time I was eating something, and you know I'd go ahead and give him a Tootsie Roll, and tell him, hey, you know, you stop coming up to me and drooling here, and I'll give you a Tootsie Roll. And he'd go off, and one day I said, why do you act that way, Gary? And he said, well, my mama told me when I was young here to always find you a white man here, and he'd take care of you. And, you know, the guy doesn't realize that he's talking out of class. But, the thing about it is that things are going to go ahead and get a lot worse because, I mean, you end up having all these poor old wiggers. I mean, they're no longer able to go ahead and pay for their house. They no longer have a job. They no longer have anything. And as a result, you're going to end up having scarcity.
Wanna welcome guest 3. Thanks for calling. Tune in. If you'd like to call in, it's 724-444-7444. Caller ID number 55519. We are coming up towards the top of the hour. We're talking about racism in the 21st century. We're talking to Mr. Lindstrom, and he's from
Southwest Missouri.
Southwest Missouri, and we're talking about race relations in the 21st century, how race relations are now versus how it was then. And I'm just getting an understanding about the Aryan Nation and what are they about. It's quite interesting by far. And we're going to talk about more. And guest 3, I invite you to call in. Oh, but let me let you know that Nation Talk also could be heard Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on 1,000 mics. And we're on live also on Tuesdays on 1000mics.com. More of Nation Talk. We're coming up at the top of the hour. This is Nation Talk on Talk Shoe and Jam Radio.
Looking for a lift? Experience a seat from the sewer with Michael Guido of Metter, Georgia.
A London church bears this sign, Not everyone who attends this church is converted. Watch your handbags. Some church members profess one thing but practice another. But when one becomes a Christian, he never forgets the reverence due to God, the rights due to man, and the respect due to self. The Christian life is no mere church going, hymn singing, escape from the obligations of life. It's real, and it shows its influence in your life. The Bible, in describing a Christian, says he keeps his promise, even if it ruins him.
For your free copy of Dr. Guido's daily devotional, Seeds from the Sower, write The Sower, Metter, Georgia, 30439.
Visit us on the web at thesower.com.
Welcome to the ocean. I've sailed the seven seas 100 times and found something I like even more than the treasure. 'Tis the ocean, beautiful and clear. Right now, I'd be sailing over the Great Barrier Reef. It just shivers me timbers thinking of all the fish and coral below me. Wait, what's that floating by? The plastic bag! By Blackbeard's eyepatch, that's disgusting. Why did you know that many of these things come from folks throwing them carelessly on the ground? It'd be true. Lend us a hand by always recycling and disposing of your trash properly. Boys, get the plank ready. Somebody's got to dive in and get that bag. Any volunteers? All right, fine. I'll do it myself. Cannonball! Find out what you can do to help keep the oceans healthy at KeepOceansClean.org. Brought to you by the Keep Oceans Clean Alliance and the Ad Council.
This is Jam Radio Network.
Views and opinions of this program are not necessarily the views of TalkShoe, Jam Radio, and its sponsors. This is Nation Talk. Welcome back. We're about at the top of the hour. We're a little early to the top of the hour, about 3 minutes to the top of the hour, and we're going to go ahead and continue with our discussion. Want to remind you once again, Nation Talk is heard right here Sundays at 8 p.m. here on TalkShoe. And we're also on 1000mics.com Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. We'll be there once a week doing live discussions just like we do here on Sundays. And tonight, we are talking about race relations in the 21st century. I almost forgot what century I was in. And in the meantime, let's turn this up and see what's going on here.
Speaker, I ask unanimous consent to revise and extend my remarks in favor of the bill.
Okay, so far so good. The bill is still, they're still debating on the bill. From what I think they're going to debate the bill until, I think they're going to have the final vote at 9:30, about another half hour from now. We should know. Okay, final vote approximately 9:30. They're doing a general debates right now. So the final vote will be about approximately 9:30. Then we'll know if it's passed or not, if the bill has been passed or not. All right. Let's hear a view from one of the leaders of the past, who talks about the Ku Klux Klan. Here's his views. Malcolm X.
I hope I haven't put anybody on the spot. I'm not intending to try and stir you up and make you do something that you wouldn't have done anyway. Yeah. that God will bless you in everything that you do. I pray that you will grow intellectually so that you can understand the problems of the world and where you fit into in that world picture. And I pray that all the fear that has ever been in your heart will be taken out. And when you look at that man, if you know he's nothing but a coward, you won't fear him. If he wasn't a coward, he wouldn't gang up on you. He wouldn't need to see you. This is how they function. They function in mind. That's a coward. They put on a sheet so you won't know who they are. That's a coward. No. The time will come when that sheet will be ripped off. If the federal government doesn't take it off, we'll take it off.
That was Malcolm X and his remarks about the Ku Klux Klan.
I'm still here.
Other Klans and the Aryans and other racist groups, are they cowards?
Well, if you're asking me, the Ku Klux Klan was founded in 1867. It was in reaction to Reconstruction, as to what the federal government was imposing upon these defeated Southern states. And Robert E. Lee said that if I'd known that these people, he didn't call them damn Yankees, would have done what they would have, I'd never would have surrendered at Appomattox. And if you read this book called April 1865, it was a close-run thing. Robert E. Lee was thinking of disbanding his army and having them go into guerrilla warfare, just like was happening in Missouri at this time. I live in Southwest Missouri, but in the county north of me, Jasper County, as a result of the fighting there was only five places which weren't burnt out. And I used to talk in the 80s to this one old guy whose grandfather lived in the Civil War. And, you know, they didn't talk about the Civil War even 100 years later because it was such a bad thing. He said if you went ahead and said the wrong word, you could be killed. And the Klan was founded as pretty well a guerrilla insurrection against the federal government. And you know, the whole basis for the civil rights laws, if you read this, and I filed quite a few federal civil rights lawsuits, it was started as a result of these anti-Klan laws. But the Klan was supposedly disbanded, but it still persisted for years. And once 1876 passed and they gave the election to Rutherford B. Hayes, part of the deal was that the North withdraw from the South and pretty well let the white man go ahead and tell the black man that he was going to be a second and third class citizen. So it wasn't, I mean, you can go ahead and call us cowards or whatever, but the thing about it is that, I mean, you know, on the days when we don't have to wear masks, because the days it's not going to be very safe at all to go ahead and, for blacks or non-whites. What is your feeling? What is your feeling about, you know, Malcolm X? I know that you had that recording on there. What is your feeling about Malcolm X? Who is superior, you know, Malcolm X or Martin Luther King?
Well, my views are more towards, but as far as civil rights concerned, was for Dr. King because of his nonviolent approach. That's what my views are on is the nonviolent approach. Now, granted, Malcolm X was a militant. Granted, he was militant, but the militant way for me, that's not really the way for me, you know, personally. He has some good views on certain views on some things that some things I agree with him on, some things I don't. But I like more what Dr. King's views on nonviolent, what the nonviolent in love. That's what he was teaching. Being a minister, you know, being a minister himself, and not only from the teachings from what he taught from the Bible and from what he observed from Gandhi, I lean more towards that. More towards Dr. King. Are they exactly how many Aryans approximately are in Missouri?
In my area?
Yeah, in your area.
Well, the fact of the matter is that there's really about three main factions of the Aryan nations, and I'm one of them. And I'm more of the dual feed line type. There's one character.
You're not the radical part of the Aryan nation.
Not really. I'm the non-government side. I think there, when Butler died, there was this 23-year-old skinhead, Irish, but we call him hybrid niggers, but he was a 23-year-old guy, and he got a swastika tattooed on his front head named Gerald O'Brien, and he claims that Butler went ahead and made him his successor. And then there was another Aryan Nations faction under August Christ, and August is just a thieving mooch. And pretty well anybody give him $25, even they didn't even have to be white or Christian identity, and he'd go ahead and make him a member of his Aryan Nations as long as you gave him $25. And in the time I've been out of jail, I've been pretty well cleaning up on these people, saying, hey, look, you have to be A, white, and B, you have to be Christian identity to claim to be Aryan Nations, because Aryan Nations is a political arm of the Church of Jesus Christ Christian. So there's two factions in northern Idaho that fight with each other over which can go ahead and collect the most money from the ADL to, you know, throw away useless bits of paper. And then there's myself, who actually is trying to go ahead and work with the above-ground Christian identity ministers to go ahead and upgrade these small one-seed line churches. The vast majority of Christian identity is really one-seed line that believes that Adam and Eve were the only first white people. And I used to be going through Herbert Armstrong's church, and there was a great worldwide flood, and Japheth, the oldest son, married a yellow woman, and Ham married a black woman, and Shem married a white woman, and that's where all the races come from. There was a worldwide flood, and they don't believe the dual seed line message. But
do you all teach hate?
Hmm?
Do you all, in your church, do you teach hate?
Do we teach hate?
Right.
What happens is that, there's a lot of people go ahead and debate about that. And essentially, we do indeed teach hate. If you go ahead and look at it, the very first command that both the Jew, you see, we don't really look upon the non-whites, like blacks or Mexicans, as being a problem. If we were allowed to, essentially we'd go ahead and exterminate or deport you all, and then we wouldn't have any problem with non-whites at all in this country. What we view is the Jews as being the literal spawn of Satan through Cain. But if you go ahead and look at my program, I usually start about half the time by going ahead and singing off tune. I don't have as much music interludes as you do. And I usually started out by going ahead and singing Dave Ball's, country music. I don't know if you listen to much, but he had a one-hit wonder called Thinking Problem. And I go ahead and change it to Wigger Problem. Like, I do believe we have a Wigger Problem. And apparently hate is understood in the Bible. It's Genesis 3:15. And it says, I will put enmity between, the servants, the serpent's seed, which are the Jews, and your seed. And he's talking to Eve. She gave birth to Cain. He was the world's first Jew because he was the son of Satan. And he also gave birth to Abel. And we believe they were both twins from different fathers. And Cain murdered Abel. So we are taught that, we believe that there is an inherent hatred between the white man and the Jew, and the Jew and the white man, and they both hate each other on sight. Now, I have seen that black people usually do not like white people, and Mexicans don't like whites, and certainly Mexicans and blacks do not like each other because they're fighting over the same limited peanut. And so, yes, I would say that you could say that we teach hate, but it's not really something that needs to be taught because it's something that is just part of inherent human nature. Did I answer your question?
Okay. But if you're a Christian, and this is a Christian church, why do you teach hate?
Well, the thing about it is that it's like this here. The name of our church is the Church of Jesus Christ Christian. I mean, and it's pretty well a reaction from all these people who go ahead and say that Jesus was a Jew. He was not a Jew. He was a Judean. And he was a pure lineage. By Jews, you're talking about these Edomites and these Canaanites who came afterwards. But, Canaan was cursed because he was the result of Ham having sex with, being married to Naama, who was Tubal Cain's sister. And there's old tradition among the Koldi church, because three critters had sex on the ark. The dog, the raven, and Ham. And they're all suitably cursed for it. So it's not so much we have to teach hate, it's just that hate is just part of normal racial feelings. And this is going to go ahead and continue. Now, what Christ said was, who's my brother? And they were bringing his own, blood brothers, his, Simon and, James. I don't know if you knew this, but James the Just was actually the first administrative leader of the early church here. Not Peter, but actually Jesus' own, I guess you could say half-brother, James the Just. And, it wasn't Paul that ran the day-to-day affairs. It wasn't Peter that ran the day-to-day affairs. It was actually James the Just. And they were saying, your brothers and your sisters, so Jesus had at least two sisters, because it's plural. And he said, who's my brother, who's my sister? And the answer is those who go ahead and believe me and keep my commandments. And Jesus didn't go ahead and overturn any of these commandments. He didn't go ahead and preach and say, guess what, you're now relatives, to the Ethiopian. You're now brethren to non-whites. And Jesus never did preach that. So Christian identity is definitely a racial religion. And as a result, we don't see anything incongruous with what you believe. I mean, you're suffering from what's called universalism, in that Christ was meant to go ahead and unify everyone, and that Christ was meant to go ahead and save everyone, and that's not the case at all. In fact, Christ, I ask people, why did Christ talk in parables? And they say, so that everybody can understand them. And then I go ahead and point out that Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 through 17 says that, no, Christ talked in parables because he didn't want the people of his generation to understand and be saved. So Christ wasn't out to go ahead and save even the majority of his fellow Judeans and Benjamites. So therefore, he was not out to go ahead and save all of humanity. Neither are we.
Yeah. What's that scripture again?
Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 through 17.
Okay, if you all don't, if, well, do you all believe in mixing multiracial culture?
No.
Why?
No. Huh?
Why?
Well, because Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 2 says that a bastard shall not enter the congregation of Israel forever. See, Christian identity says, essentially the basis of Christian identity, be it the One Seed Line, British Israelite, Herbert W. Armstrong, the rest of them, you know, it's pretty well the same in that Christian identity says that white people, white Aryan people, and we're not talking about Eastern Europeans, and there's some people who do not like the Irish, still do not like the Irish, but you're talking about the, you know, the Germanic and Scandinavian Nordic-type people are the remnants of the lost house of, the, you know, of Israel. And one of the curses of Israel was that it would lose its identity. Christian identity says that, well, yes, we know our identity, that we are descended from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and we're the so-called lost sheep of the house of Israel. You know, they used to call it the lost 10 tribes, but actually it was all 13 tribes which were deported by the Assyrians in 719 B.C. And as a result, if you're not white, you are, you know, when they say bastard, they mean miscegenated bastard. They mean mixed race bastard. And just like in Matthew 15:13, I believe, Jesus Christ says that every seed that is not planted by my Father, you know, shall be uprooted. And since God didn't make these mamzers or miscegenated bastards, I mean, lustful people did, they are plants that are going to be uprooted. So they're, you know, I mean, non-whites at the best are regarded as simply beasts of the field without any souls. And if they're miscegenated, they're viewed as abominations by Christian identity.
Okay. Hold on, we're going to tackle some more on this and a lot more right after we take a break. This is Nation Talk here on Talk Show and Jam Radio.
For your child to learn to read is during the first 5 years of life. Kathleen discovered this fact firsthand.
A friend of ours recommended the Your Baby Can Read series when we had our first child, Jacob. Never thought anything of it. We plopped him down in front of it.
Your Baby Can Read worked amazingly well.
When Jacob was 3 years old, he was reading at second grade level. He turned 5 in July, went to kindergarten, and in 3 weeks he was moved to first grade.
Kathleen knows it's no coincidence.
Because we have 3 children and all are reading on a high level. School is very easy. Straight A students, maybe 1 or 2 children, but all 3, probably a successful video. So bam, it worked.
Did Kathleen have to work at it?
No, I didn't have to do a thing. Your Baby Can Read definitely gives them a life skill that can never be taken away from them. It's been invaluable.
For a limited time, you can receive a completely risk-free trial of the Your Baby Can Read program. Call now and we'll also include 3 free learning gifts with your risk-free trial. Call 1-800-508-3105, 800-508-3105, 800-508-3105.
Every 40 seconds, a child is reported missing in the United States. Of these missing children, under 45% are African American children who are being torn from their families. There are astronomical numbers of abused, missing, and murdered African American children that fail to get the needed exposure in the media. Hi, this is Brother Reggie, asking you to go to www.peaceintheirpods.com. It is everyone's job to save our children.
I think he sees us so
of my family.
Arr, you mate. Welcome to the ocean. I've sailed the seven seas 100 times and found something I like even more than me treasure. 'Tis the ocean. Beautiful and clear. Right now, I be sailing over the Great Barrier Reef. It just shivers me timbers thinking of all the fish and coral below me. Wait, what's that floating by? The plastic bag! By Blackbeard's bypass, that's disgusting. Why did you know that many of these things come from boats throwing them carelessly on the ground? It'd be true. Lend us a hand by always recycling and disposing of your trash properly. Boys, get the plank ready. Somebody's got to dive in and get that bag. Any volunteers? All right, fine. I'll do it myself. Cannonball! Find out what you can do to help keep the ocean healthy at KeepOceansClean.org. Brought to you by the Keep Oceans Clean Alliance and the Ad Council.
Listen to Morning Inspirations on Sunday mornings at 6 a.m. Eastern Time, right here.
This is Jam Radio Network.
Welcome back. This is Nation Talk. The number to call is 724-444-7444. Caller ID number 55519#. Our discussion tonight, race relations in the 21st century, part 2. Rams Rambo, you are welcome to join in the conversation. We're talking with MLD Linstead. He's a pastor and a part of the Aryan Nation. Yes, I said it right. That's right. You heard it right. From the Aryan Nation. And I'm having a very, very interesting conversation with him. And if you'd like to ask him some questions, feel free now, 724-444-7444, caller ID number 55519#. We want to also remind you that you can listen to Nation Talk Tuesdays at 3 p.m. on 1000mics.com. Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on 1000mics.com. So far, so good. Let's see. Let me turn this up. Let me turn this up and see what's going on. No, Mike, not now. Thank you. Let's turn this up and see what's
going on. A government takeover of health care. Now, I know they don't like us to call it that. When you mandate every American have government-approved insurance, whether they want it or need it or not, when you create a government-run plan paid for with job-killing tax increases, when you provide public funding for abortion...
Okay, now approximately 9:30, they're going to make the final vote. So that's why I'm waiting to hear what the final vote is going to be as well on the health care plan. But in the meantime, 724-444-7444, caller ID number 55519 is the number. And yes, y'all have to please pardon the noise in the background, because my wife she's not upset. She's just cleaning right now.
Okay. I take it you're broadcasting from your home.
Right.
Okay. I take it that you are for this health care bill passing, you know, the House thing, correct?
Yeah, I'm actually for it, and I'm waiting on now. Well, they have now about seven and a half minutes before they make their final vote on at approximately about 9:30. So, since I came home from church, I've been listening to C-SPAN. Waiting to hear what they're going to do. So I'm waiting on that now.
You have your own church or something then? Your own church?
I'm an associate minister right now at a church locally here.
Okay, well I just turned on my TV to VNN. I'm gonna go ahead and record it on DVR as well. They were talking about how they're gonna go ahead and pass it illegally by means of not going ahead and allowing them to vote, but I guess they're going to go ahead and allow a vote up, straight up and down, but that doesn't mean anything because you have to go ahead and pass through the United States Senate. But, you know,
The Senate's vote for it already. It's in for the Senate. It's just that the House is on the House side now for final approval. This is for the final approval because the president said he wants it by before the week is out. So before this week, this is the end of the week. So before it was, so he's trying to get this in before Monday, I believe. He wants it so he can get it signed on. But I guess by Monday he wants to get it signed by tomorrow. But so I'm hoping they'll go ahead. By the looks of it, I think the vote's going to be in, and they got a few Republicans against it, and got mostly Democrats who are for it. But
what I found out you have guest number three saying, what evidence is there of connection between Scandinavian people who are illiterate and pagan and the ancient Israelites? And the answer to that is that a number of people, I mean, Israel lost its identity when they were deported, you know, by the Assyrians, and they migrated. They migrated and they became, you know, known in some cases as the Parthians, and they moved to Denmark, and they went ahead and they interbred with these Adamite people who had not been destroyed in the flood because they were in Europe outside their local flood area. And in many cases, these people did know who they were. They, you know, some of them recollected who they were and they kept their identity. If you go ahead and look at the early churches, you have people like Tertullian and St. Justin Martyr and a number of other people who remembered, who were almost, if you go ahead and look at them, they understood the message of dual seed line Christian identity. In the case of Jesus Christ, he had 12 disciples. One of them who was a Jew who was going to betray him, a Jew who was descended from Edomite, you know, from Edom, and during the time of Jesus, they'd go ahead, they'd be sent out not to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's who Jesus said he was only sent to. He said he was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he called this Canaanite woman a dog because she presumed to go ahead and beg him to go ahead and heal her daughter. He ended up healing her daughter because, you know, there's this old guy named Clifton M. Isaac, he pointed out, because Jesus had to, because they were supposed to be a thorn in the Israelite side. So, in many cases, you know, what you believe, and I found out this to be true, what you believe is altogether a matter of what side you're on. But I want to go ahead and go on to this health care bill. The reason that the blacks and the Mexicans like this health care bill is because they're not the ones having to pay for it. In order to go ahead and pass this thing, what they're doing is they're taking away money away from Medicare, and they're taking it away from the care of elderly white people.
Well,
if you go ahead.
Well, I kind of disagree with you because really, I'll mention your comment in a minute. I'll talk with your comment in a minute. But
okay.
Being an uninsured person, a healthcare, you're talking to a person right now who has no health insurance.
Right. And neither do I.
But wait now.
Okay.
I'm for it because of people like myself who works on a job who don't have the certain health care on the job that I have presently now. Now the job I've had before had the health care, the dental and all that kind of stuff. Because
how old are you anyway?
I am in my 40s.
Okay.
Now, I'm for it because the way this bill is to help every American, no matter who they are, what color, creed, whatever, it's to help especially the blue collar Americans like myself, who's a blue collar worker. Work for paycheck, and don't have any health care, who had to end up doing indigent care, which is I'm doing now. I'm in indigent care right now. If I have to go to one hospital, I have to go there because they have indigent care. They have an indigent care program. And I have to go to that particular hospital because I don't have the proper health insurance right now because the way I work and my job is I'm not making enough to have money taken out of my check just to have the insurance right now. That's why I'm for it.
Okay.
And my boss do not have, they don't have the insurance right now. I've asked them about it. He said it's a possibility they may do it, but I can see his point because in order for him to do that, then they're going to take a lot of money out from him to do it because he is a small business, and there are a lot of small businesses like the industry that I'm in, and I clean offices for a couple hours, and that's not even enough to really it's enough to do what I need to do for right now, but for other expenses it's not really all enough. That's why I'm for this bill. I'm personally for this bill because I would like to see this health care bill be a lot better than it was before. And if it gets passed, that'd be great. And that would be great to help especially the middle class and blue collar, and especially us blue collar workers who work paycheck to paycheck to paycheck. And can't afford it. And I like what the health care bill will do nothing now to reduce the cost. It will nationalize national health care. We could eliminate the German.
Emulate the German.
Not the French model. Oh, okay. I see what you mean. The Germans. Okay. The Germans have. They think the Germans have. From what I understand, the Germans and the French, and I think the British. And the Canadians, they have this national health care bill. What they're trying to do is model a health care bill like the ones in Europe, because they've apparently looked at it. It seems like it works for them, so it should work for us, in a sense. So that's why I'm for it.
Okay. But what happens is that when the backlash came against it was in August, and what you had is a bunch of elderly white people, and they rebelled against it. Remember all these town hall meeting revolts when they were having a fit?
I remember.
Well, the reason they were having a fit is that these old white people figured out that in order to go ahead and come up with this healthcare thing, that what would have to go ahead and be done away with was more and more Medicare. What they're talking about doing is cutting $500 million just right away out of the Medicare program. Now, the white people, now, as a result, the Republicans, who supposedly represent the whites and don't do a very good job of it, and, the Republicans have been traitors to essentially the white, the white people, but there is no way to be able to pay for it. If you go ahead and look at it, it's pretty well admitted that, the reason Obama's going ahead and going for it, he went ahead and said, and I heard him say, this health care plan does not pass, then the nation will become bankrupt. And the reason why he's doing that is he's going ahead and essentially talking about, pretty well taking the taxes away from white people for a period of 5 years before this thing ever really kicks in.
Go ahead.
5 years, 5 years of taxes from white people to go ahead and continue what it is, and Social Security, instead of going being bankrupt in 5 to 15 years, is going to go ahead and go bankrupt. They say it's going to go ahead and pay out more than what it takes in about a year or so. And it's because of this recession. You have a $1.7 trillion deficit. How are you going to go ahead and pay for a brand new entitlement? And the answer is you're not. There's no way they're going to be able to go ahead and borrow that much money, especially since they can't be repaid. So since they can't borrow that money, they're going to have to go ahead and set the printing presses afloat. And, this thing is just impossible.
I kind of feel like if they can pay for other dumb things, they could pay for this health care. That's how I feel about it. This health care bill is more important because they got folks like myself. Who blue collar workers who work all hard all their lives, working paycheck to paycheck and doing the right thing and coming and going out here and busting their butts day in, day out, night in, night out, trying to make a better life for themselves. Not stealing or killing or jacking nobody, but going out here and actually work. Now if the people who don't work, who go out here and jack people, can go out and go to work, then it'll be better. But we got some jack legs out here who want to go out here and want to jack people. It's still old folks' money out of the insurance, which I've experienced already personally in a personal sense. It's stealing people's insurance money or just stealing from people, period. Instead of these people going out here working for a living, they go out here and steal from people. That's not right. If I could go out here and work like a dog like everybody else, they can go out here and work. That's how I feel about it. That's why I want this health care bill passed. And because that's the reason why I want this health care bill passed. And I don't care what the Republicans say. And for one thing, I do agree with you on the white Republicans. Yeah, I think the white Republicans are being they're turncoats.
Well,
we're agreed on one thing here.
Probably for different reasons, but the thing about it is that you're absolutely right. This money. I despise Republicans more than I despise Democrats, because the Democrats have never pretended to love me as a white man, whereas Republicans have pretended to love me as a white man, but they've been going ahead and betraying us ever since 1860, as far as I'm concerned, but especially since the past 20 years. They went ahead and shipped off all these jobs to China in return for campaign contributions, so they could go ahead and make a lot of short-term profits by going ahead and sending out their jobs. They've gone ahead and brought in all these Mexicans, and the main one who's suffering from all this Mexican labor isn't, you know, well, the poor whites are suffering, but mainly it's you blacks, poor blacks, who are suffering from all this infusion of all these Mexicans. And if they were serious about going ahead and passing Medicare, what they'd simply do is go ahead and, instead of passing a new health care entitlement, what they would do is that they would go ahead and extend Medicare to people like you who are able or not able to go ahead and pay something. They'd simply extend Medicare to you rather than pass a whole new entitlement if they were serious about going ahead and actually giving health care. But this is really just a scheme to go ahead and collect taxes for 5 years before they have to go ahead and deliver. They're already taking
money out. They're already taxing me to death over here.
Mm-hmm.
They're already taxing me to death right now. Now, I'd rather to hike the tax up and pass this bill and then do nothing at all. That's how I feel about it. Because this bill is as important. This bill is absolutely important. Guest 3, he says, ultimately, small businesses where most new jobs are created will bear the brunt of taxes, thus eliminating many blue-collar jobs such as yours, which might eliminate some of the jobs, the blue-collar jobs, and again, it might not. Who knows? Creating jobs is probably the best thing they can do, is to create jobs in order to produce more money, in order to bring more money in our neighborhoods, especially in our neighborhoods, which is needed. Now that's on a state level. You were in Missouri.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, you were in Missouri. In Missouri, do they tax you to death in Missouri?
They tax you to death everywhere.
Well, I know for a fact Florida and a couple of states, only a few states in the union that doesn't tax you like every little thing. I know in
every state.
Well, they do, but what I'm trying to ask is, does Missouri have a state tax?
Income tax, yeah.
Okay. Georgia is one of those states that has the state tax. It has a state tax. Florida, I know for a fact, I lived in Florida for 10 years, and they did not have a state tax. How in the world they got by with it? It's easy, because they have tourism, because they have Walt Disney World, they have SeaWorld, and some other amusements that actually pays for itself. That's how they are able to not tax, get have a state tax. Now, if they can get rid of the state taxes and try to raise money by other means of revenue, like in Missouri, some type of tourism in Missouri, or here more of it here in the state of Georgia, then maybe we won't have so many state taxes. Then we just have the school tax, road taxes, cigarette tax, food tax, things like that. But that's what's killing most of these states. I don't know if you heard or not, but the state of New York withheld. The refunds, my wife's home state, the governor there withheld. I tell you no lie. I saw this on the news. He probably saw it on the news too. They withheld. The state withheld income tax refunds in order to pay the bills.
Yes, they're doing that in Kansas, of all places.
Why are they doing that? It's not fair.
Because they don't have the money. I mean, there's some states. Missouri is in relatively good shape. Probably Georgia is in fairly good shape. But California is on the ropes. New York State, it's on the ropes. I remember, it was in May or February, Kansas, of all places, on the ropes. So I'm saying, well, Kansas be on the ropes is not a good sign because it's a mainly white state.
Yeah, that's right.
It's mainly a white state, and if they can't go ahead and pay for their state government in a majority white state, if they're in the same shape as California is, that just means that things are not good, not very well run in Kansas anymore. And you have all these states, and they're awaiting bailout too. But the thing about it is that this particular health care plan is essentially a scheme to go ahead and make white people go ahead and pay higher taxes, and they're not able to pay higher taxes. I mean, you can talk about people wanting to go ahead and have jobs, but the thing about it is that you have, they say, 10% unemployment, but the actual figure is probably closer to about 20%. In some cases, it is 20%. Missouri is one of the places which have fairly high unemployment, but not near as bad as California. I have this friend of mine, he's driving a truck, and they are going ahead making him chain up on dry pavement, and the reason they're trying to do that is they're trying to go ahead and collect from truck drivers all these fines for not driving, not doing something stupid like driving with a chained up truck on dry ground, which goes ahead and those chains wear out. It's sort of like driving looks like you're pulling an emery wheel behind you. And those links go ahead and they damage tires and all sorts of things. But you're having this sort of stupid stuff because these states are looking to go ahead and get more and more revenue. But it doesn't really matter. You have these public unions collecting $200,000, per employee for retirement. And these retirements are not there because of all these Jew banksters stealing. You've heard of Goldman Sachs and all these other places. Essentially, they went ahead and stole from all these pension funds. So there's not, there would probably be money if they'd have kept these Jew banksters from going ahead and stealing people blind. But there's no money left. And this sort of thing for, like Barack Obama was saying, well, unless this thing passes, why, the United States government's going to go bankrupt. And yes, it is going to go bankrupt. They're talking about not giving any more higher care for 5 years before it kicks in, but they're going to go ahead and collect taxes. And when they try to go ahead and collect taxes from white people to go ahead and give to blacks and Mexicans, you might very well see a racial civil war come in all that much more the sooner.
But it's not just, it's not, well, I kind of disagree with you on that because we got some blacks and Mexicans, and I've worked with Mexicans. And
I bet you have.
I work with them. We got them a lot here in Georgia. And I've worked
You have them everywhere.
Oh, yeah. They're not giving us really all the money. I don't see it them giving it us to all the money to just those two minorities. I really don't see it that way. Okay, senior citizens will be killed with both Medicare cuts and erosion of the savings through the inflation money creation, which will be required.
Guess number three is correct.
From the senior citizens. Okay, well, there are some, and the racial war thing is just fantasy.
Why do you think it's a fantasy?
Now, this is what guess three said.
Oh, I don't know. I guess mine is sort of hanging here. I mean, let me ask a question here. The Habsburg Empire in Austria, they went ahead and fell apart in 1918 to 1919, just in a couple of months. And these were people who were sort of white. They lived, you know, they're Eastern Europeans, they're Germans, they were Czechs, they were Serbs, they were Hungarians, they were all sorts of things. And it broke up into about four or five different states here of Hungary, Romania, a number of them here. And these were white, and they couldn't go ahead and get along with each other once there was no power to keep them together. What makes you think that a multiracial empire is going to go ahead and hang together like this, you know, like this current country is?
There is what you call a melting pot here in the United States, which is a blend of everybody come from everywhere. There was an article in, I just saw it this weekend. There's an article about Ellis Island, and it's a very interesting article about how history, about the history of Ellis Island, and how they, how many of the millions of people would come through Ellis Island, which is the first place they go to when they come to this country, which is Ellis Island. This is where they immigrate. Multiculturalism is a failure. Why is it a failure? I don't see it as a failure. I see it as it better. I tell you like this. I'd rather be multiculturalism than it was during the '60s when it was segregated. Personally, that's my personal feeling about it. I'd rather see it the way it is now than it was. But when I was living in Chicago, I was living in a mixed neighborhood. Very, very mixed neighborhood. And I got along with everybody in that neighborhood. I have friends who were white. Very good friends who lived in the same neighborhood. They didn't look like me. But we all lived in the same neighborhood. I have a buddy right next door to me. He was mixed. He was mixed. We were the best of friends. We talked about baseball and Superman and things like that. We were real good buddies. And when his sister died, we went to his sister's funeral to pay our respects because we knew the sister. I'm saying like this. Back then, I saw no racism. I didn't see it. Not until I came down south. When I came down south, I actually seen in a small town that my family's from, in Newton, Georgia, where it had a sign that says for whites only. When I first saw that, and my mind went right back to the...
Wait. How old are you?
I'm in my 40s. I'm in my late 40s. I'm in my late 40s now. I'm almost...
Okay. 40. You must have been pretty young then here because I think they ended segregation. I don't know when they ended, you know, de facto or de jure. You must have been pretty young when you seen that sign there.
Yeah, I was very young. I was... When I left, I was born here in Georgia, but my parents left from Georgia to go up north because, you know, our blacks go up north to find jobs and, you know, in different factories and different types, you know, different industries up there, you know, like they do here in Chicago, New York, you know.
There's no jobs, so blacks are moving back south, correct?
Yeah. Well, during that time, there was no jobs down south, so they went north to find jobs, like New York, Chicago. And some of them even went west.
Michigan?
And some of them went west. from what I understand, there was a lot of blacks that even went on the West Coast. There was a lot of blacks on the West Coast that stayed with their since the 20s and 30s, from the 30s and 40s, I believe. But when my parents came along, they came along with the time of the racism, the time of the racism and all that was going on. When I left Georgia, I was very, very young when I left Georgia, when I left the state of Georgia.
Okay.
We went to Chicago. My mom and dad left, as I said, to go to find to have a life up in Illinois, in Chicago. We lived in the projects at one time, and then we moved from the projects to the suburb. That was the first time I actually seen regular houses in my life, like regular houses, like regular houses. When we moved into a house, the house was brand new. It had that brand new smell to it. You can tell it had that new smell to it.
So your father had a pretty good job.
Yeah, he had both my mom and dad worked, and they had pretty good jobs.
So you're back out of Chicago, back to what, Georgia? Because
yeah. I was only there for about 11 years. And then my mom wanted to come back home. So my dad stayed in Chicago. My mom went back to Georgia. We went back with her. The kids.
Are they divorced?
Yeah.
Oh, they're divorced. Okay.
Yeah. So that was the reason for that reason. But as far as anything else, I didn't see any racism I did kind of see some signs of it, but when I got here, it was different. Here being here down south, it was different. The people sounded different. It sounded a lot different from up there, and they thought I sounded strange because my Midwest.
Now,
as you can tell, I have a slightly southern, part southern, part Midwestern accent, like the president. You know,
okay,
Midwestern accent. But as far as
so,
I really didn't see it that much.
Okay, you're about 48, 49, and I'm what, 52 or so. So we're about the same. We're about the same age. You're a little bit younger than me, correct?
Right.
Okay, and I've been pretty polite to you, at least for an Aryan Nations type, correct?
Right.
Okay. See, the thing about it is, though, is that, I'm sort of curious because I don't usually talk to blacks very much. I talked to them a little bit in the nut house where I was at, and I was sent there illegally and doped up, and anybody believes in the constipation of the bill of goods is an idiot, in my view. Essentially the people of power do whatever the hell they want to, and then they go ahead and claim that they have a right to do it. And as a result, I don't have anything wrong with going ahead and destroying the people who destroyed my family and tried to destroy my life. I don't have any problem with violence or the use of violence at all. I'm sort of curious. I mean, it was like I was trying to tell this guy is that I sort of thought that Rosa Parks was a stupid bitch because she went ahead on behalf of the Jews and destroyed the only way in which America could possibly live in peace with a number of different races in this continent. Now, if I could go ahead and make a deal with the blacks and be able to go ahead, I'd probably say, look, all of them, instead of being murdered or sent back to Africa, if they could go ahead and simply live from, say, South Carolina to Louisiana, except for the northern mountainous parts, where the whites like living and there's not very many blacks, I'd do that. But I don't see, and one of these days I believe I'm going to go ahead and write a paper on what I call racial federalism. But I don't see that happen. I see a race war occurring, and I don't know if you've ever read this book. It's free now by a guy, a friend of mine named Thomas Chittum. It was called Civil War II. And he says that there was going to go ahead and be a racial civil war, and that the Mexicans were going to go ahead and take back the Southwest, and the blacks were going to go ahead and get the Southeast, and that the whites would go ahead and get the rest. And everything would be a nation again instead of an empire. And you don't see that happening at all then, do you?
Maybe.
Maybe. So you might see it happening. You think it's possible?
It's a possibility, and again, who knows? Who knows? We really don't know for sure. We really don't know.
Well, I'm pretty well a pastor, and I'm a rather Christianity is a rather dogmatic racial religion, and we claim that yes, this is exactly what is going to happen, and that Babylon or Zog is going to go ahead and be destroyed, and there's not going to be any multiracial, multicultural, mighty evil empire. Whenever I go ahead and talk about that, I say that I don't know if you ever recollect the part about Daniel, one of Daniel's dreams. He interpreted this dream from Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar dreamed that he's seen a statue, you know, he's seen a head of gold, a statue made of head of gold. Its shoulders were made out of silver. Its chest was made out of bronze. Its legs were made out of iron, and feet were made out of iron and clay. And at the end of this kingdom, they would try to mix the seed of men. And this evil empire is going the same way as all the other empires did, like Rome did. There, you know, it goes ahead, and its founding white people are able to make a civilization, but then they go ahead and they conquer and they bring in all these slaves, and these slaves go ahead and mix the races of their founding people, and the founding people no longer exist, and therefore their government, their civilization collapses and falls apart. And the same thing will happen. It says in the final days that Jesus Christ will come. He'll be the rock which goes ahead and destroys the statue, and it grows to the size of a mountain, and there's nothing else in the world. And in the case of Jesus Christ, he said in Matthew 25 that when he returns, that he would separate the nations, separating them into sheep and goats. And what we see, what dual seed line Christianity, sees, is that there will indeed be a race war. And I guess we're coming to the end of your show.
Yes,
but,
yeah.
Usually when I'm raving on talk show, I just go ahead and just rant and rave until I'm done. But, it's up to you to go ahead and do. So.
Well, like I said, in the beginning, before you came on, that I'm a very reasonable guy, and I agree sometimes to disagree, which is all part of this program on Nation Talk. We may not agree with everything, but at least we have dialogue. That's the thing that I'm looking for. At least we have some dialogue.
We have dialogue now.
Yeah, we have dialogue now on the problem, but now since we see the problem, now there should be a way to have a solution to the problem. That's how I'm looking at it. Since there are problems of race in our country, now there should be a solution to the race, to the races. And all we can just get along with everybody. We should be able to get along with everybody, blacks, Mexicans, all Hispanics, my Native American brothers, my Asian brothers, matter of the Chinese, Vietnamese, Japanese, especially my Vietnamese brothers.
But that doesn't, you know, that hasn't happened in history. I don't see why things have changed now. Usually history is measured by who is killing who, you know, which wars were taking place during the reign of whichever little emperor or king or whatever happened here. There's not been an empire yet, especially a multiracial empire, which has ever survived. On some of these, on my forum, I went ahead, printed up one, something that was reprinted from Foreign Affairs. And these people are predicting that America will, you know, this is from a painting in 1836 by these people saying the cycle of empire. And you end up having with a untamed land, and then you end up having the farmers, then you have the merchants, and then, you know, picture number four was the destruction, and picture number five was that there wasn't anything. All there was just a bunch of ruins. And that's what I see, that's why I see happen, is that, yes, I've seen a race war, and in the case of California, you already have. If you go ahead and look at Gangland on the History Channel, which I call the Hitler Channel, Hitler all the time gets ass whipped by Jews, but if you go ahead and look at the Hitler Channel, why, what you see is that you see Mexicans, in many cases, conducting ethnic cleansing campaigns against blacks in Los Angeles. And I don't see any possibility. What I see in during the last year and a half since I got out of jail, essentially the charges fell apart because my grandson said, no, I didn't kiss his penis, and I'm going to go ahead and make you look stupid if you put me on the stand. So they dismissed the charges. They never had it. You know, it never happened. But, I mean, people like me, I mean, I'm out to go ahead and kill what I call wiggers and regime criminals. And if I don't have any pity on so-called whites who went ahead and destroyed me and my family, I mean, when things get bad here, I mean, it's easy enough to say is that it'd be nice to go ahead and, you know, partition the continent. But once there's all these corpses laying on the ground and there's a war, there's not going to be anybody to surrender to. There's not going to be anybody to go ahead and dictate peace to. You're going to have a war of each against all, and it's not going to be pretty at all. And I don't see your notions as having any success. What you see is you see a whole bunch of whites who don't have any money. They don't have any jobs. They're losing their homes. And if whites can't go ahead and afford to go ahead and pay for themselves anymore, they're not going to be able to go ahead and pay for the blacks and the Mexicans either. Do you see what I'm getting at?
Well, we're going to go ahead and end this program. And again, thank you so much for the time. It's been very interesting. Very, very
Hail victory.
Very, very interesting conversation on it. And hopefully, since we do have dialogue now, who knows? Things may change. We just have to wait and see on that. This has been Nation Talk. The views and opinions of this program have not been necessarily the views of TalkShoe, Jam Radio, and its sponsors. I'm Mr. Kenneth Jenkins. We went a little over time, but it was a good discussion and a good night. Be sure to join me on tomorrow morning for Morning Inspirations here on TalkShoe, Jam Radio 2.1. Till tomorrow morning, good night.
Jam Radio Network.
This is Minister Kenneth Jenkins. Be sure to join me Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time for Nation Talk on 1000mics.com. That's 1000mics.com Tuesdays on Nation Talk right here.